Welcome to the Fill Your Cup Integrated Health Podcast, where we're dedicated to finding leading health and wellness experts from around the world who walk their walk and not just talk the talk. We explore and share their message so you can find and implement the missing pieces of the puzzle in your personal health journey. Whether it's ancient wisdom or contemporary science, we leave no stone unturned to create a healthier, happier, and more connected world. And now, here is your host, Rory Callahan.
So welcome to this week's episode of Fill Your Cup, which is an integrated health platform. Our job is to find some really cool experts in the world and just magnify what they know about medicine, about health, about wellness, and to really simplify that for the everyday person. So who we've got today is a beautiful lady from Atlanta, Georgia. So we've got Dr. Bindia Gandhi, and she is a functional medicine practitioner. You can wave, you can say hi.
Hi.
Hi to the virtual world. So her background, certified family physician. So she's got the credibility. She's gone and done undergrad. She's gone through the medical side of things. She's come out of it. She's then done an integrated fellowship with Dr. Andrew Weil, and she's now part of the functional medicine training with the Institute of Functional Medicine over in the USA as well. So she's had this really, really cool shift from being an MD for family, you know, based people to then going to this functional medicine side. And I guess feeding into that, you're also a Reiki master, a yoga instructor, author, a writer, and also someone who's very interested in the nutritional side of health, right, and fundamental healing. So I guess beyond that, you're a wife and you've got a dog as well, but is there anything else that I've missed?
No, you've got everything.
So that's a nice snapshot of who you are, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So perfect. So First of all, I'd love to welcome you to this space.
Thank you.
And let's get it started by just sharing a little bit about your story and why did you become a doctor in the first place?
So I actually knew early on that I wanted to go into medical school and that I wanted to become a doctor. So probably during high school, you know, it was kind of like I wanted to help people. That was the thing. And I was really fascinated with the mind. So I really thought I was going to be a psychiatrist. So I actually got my undergrad degree in psychology and biology. So I double majored, took 2 years off between undergrad and med school, and I worked with a psychiatrist. And I realized, you know, I like medicine, but not psychiatry. It's a hard field. But I'm super grateful for that experience because that was when I learned a lot of things. I actually was doing clinical trials for big pharmaceutical companies, and that was probably one of my early exposures of, oh, I'm not sure I like the way this is going, you know. I actually got in trouble. I still remember this story. I actually got in trouble by my boss that I was working for because he, I was telling my patients at that time to meditate. And he yelled at me. He was like, oh, that's biased. You know, we're doing clinical trials. It's supposed to be double-blind placebo studies. And so so clearly that didn't work out. But I went to medical school anyway and realized, you know, I wanted to become a doctor. Went into family medicine because I really loved kids, really loved adults, really have a drawing towards my female population, probably because I can relate to them. So definitely didn't want to exclude anything. So family medicine was definitely the way for me to go. And family medicine is also in the States a little bit more open to alternative and integrative medicine. So that was another reason that I had picked that field. And during medical school is when I started learning a little bit about integrative medicine. So that was kind of how I got into integrative medicine early on then. It was really interesting because during my rotations, I remember working with a lot of like family medicine doctors, and a lot of them were checking vitamin D's, and a lot of them were giving out fish oil as supplements and, you know, talking to their patients about nutrition. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this. Where when I was doing my other rotations like ER or even my inpatient hospital rotations, it was like, you have a disease, you give a medication and that's it. Like it's a treat, a symptom and a medication, a symptom, a treatment. It wasn't like kind of getting to the root cause. So, definitely learned early on, you know, that there was definitely more to medicine than what I was taught in medical school, for sure. So, yeah, it was definitely interesting.
So that's where the, I guess the journey started. And you've then gone on and you really plugged into these places, like, you know, the mentorship with Dr. Andrew Weil and also the Institute for Functional Medicine. So how did that sort of come about, and how did you then decide to go from being a family physician to then looking into this more integrative and functional side?
So, again, during med school is kind of when I was learning about other things. Actually, that's during med school is when I learned about Reiki and started dabbling with energy medicine. And I actually had been practicing yoga since I was in undergrad, and just took it to the next level. So right before residency is when I went ahead and got yoga certified. And I was like, how am I going to intertwine Reiki and yoga with medicine? Because I'm very passionate about it. And so at that time I kept looking, and I was like, everybody thought I was a quack. Oh, you're a weirdo. Like, how are you going to get insurance to pay for a Reiki? And how are you going to make money being a yoga teacher? you're a doctor, you know? And I was like, I'll figure it out. And I actually have figured it out, you know, because that's when I learned about integrative medicine. And I was fortunate because, I just was doing some research, and I was like, there's got to be alternative medicine. There's got to be something. And I stumbled onto Dr. Andrew Weil's website, learned a lot about him. You know, he's like the forefather of integrative medicine in the U.S. And so knew that I was going to do his fellowship. And I was fortunate during residency, my medical director, she actually did acupuncture, and she kind of did a little bit of herbs. So I was kind of, again, I was fortunate to be exposed to this stuff. Went ahead and did the fellowship with him, and my goodness, blown away at all the information I learned. But I still felt like a little bit was missing. And so that's when I went ahead and, started learning at the Institute of Functional Medicine. And so a lot of it was also because, as most people know, as most integrative and functional medicine doctors will tell you, it kind of starts with yourself, right? It's a lot of it is you have a passion and you have an interest, but at the same time, you're kind of doctoring yourself, right? There's something that you're trying to fix in your own health. And it was actually during residency when I learned about functional medicine, I was actually suffering with a lot of GI issues. I was suffering with a lot of rashes that kept coming, and I had done the conventional route. You know, I did residency at a really prestigious university, and I would go to these top-notch dermatologists, and they would tell me that there's nothing wrong with me. You know, I had a rash on my face, and it was my face. So it was pretty something that I was kind of like, oh no, I got to get this taken care of.
Yep.
And so I remember the dermatologist had given me antifungal medications, steroids, antiviral medications, antibiotics. She took a biopsy. Everything had come back normal, and the rash kept coming back. And then kind of like started to make me feel like I was crazy, like because it's like you have this rash, and I've given you all this medication, then it's not helping, you know? And so I remember saying, okay, well, you know, I need to go and see other doctors. Like, I actually was begging her. I was like, can I see an allergy immunologist? Because I was like, I think there's something wrong with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And she told me, she was like, okay, yeah, go see the allergist. Because I think at this point, it had been like a year since I had been seeing her. So she sent me to an allergist, and the allergist looked at me like I was crazy. And he's like, what are you talking about? Where's your rash? And no, we don't need to do any workup on you. And so, I mean, all these types to things that led me into saying, okay, there's another world of medicine out there. I need to learn about this. And so a lot of it was, okay, let me learn about rashes. What else could it be? You know, and besides the, you know, typical stuff that the dermatologist had checked and, you know, so a lot of it was.
Yeah. So basically you went on this journey, and you, like, as a medical professional, you had symptoms, right?
And of course, yeah.
And you leveraged the networks, you followed those pathways, and you, for whatever reason, couldn't find a solution to your problem, right? And I think a lot of people, especially the everyday person, will feel at ease, because I'm sure a lot of us out there are doing the same thing, right? So if doctors are doing the same thing, then it makes it feel a little less weird.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, so you had gut issues, you had skin issues, and also I think you mentioned you had a bit of adrenal fatigue at the time as well.
Yeah, because, you know, you're working all the time in residency. You're working very, very long hours. You're not sleeping well. You're not eating well. You're not exercising. You're just, I mean, I hate saying this, but you're really just surviving, you know? Yeah. And that takes a toll on your hormones, your GI issue, you know, your GI, your gut.
Yeah,
and
gut, yeah.
It put me into really bad adrenal fatigue, you know? Mm. And so, oh my goodness, it was a long time. And then of course I was planning a wedding. it's like one thing after another.
Yep. And that's such an important point, because how many health professionals out there do you think are probably suffering from the same things?
And oh my goodness, many. But you know, the thing is not many people realize what, you know, what they're suffering, what their symptoms are. And a lot of it is, we live in a society where it's like, you got to push yourself. You're not good enough if you don't push yourself, right? And it's like, adrenal fatigue is pushing yourself to the max, right? Because part of it is society wants you to produce and perform. And so you think that's what everybody does and that's normal, right?
Yep.
So, and I
can relate to that, because I had the same thing. I think I mentioned to you last time, and a great analogy. And my mum said it to me. She said, "You're burning the wick at both ends." And I was like, "Nah, mum, I'm fine. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing." And sure enough, you know, you get the gut issues, and then you get the energy and the fatigue issues, and then all these other symptoms start popping up. But at the end of the day, we're just really emptying. I guess if we had a cup that was full of health, we're down at about 5 or 10%, right? So
yes.
So yes. Long story short, what was the solution for you as a doctor? How did you work your way, get on top of the gut issues, get on top of the adrenal fatigue issues? What'd you do?
So to be honest, the biggest thing was fixing my diet. That was the number one thing that I did for myself. You know, ended up, long story short, realized I ended up, rash was really celiac. So once I cut the gluten out, wow, what a difference that made, right? And that was just part of it, right? You know, once I cut the gluten out, a lot of my symptoms improved. Now, the adrenal fatigue did not improve, but, you know, the GI issues improved, right? And so also getting on really good healthy supplements, probiotics, digestive enzymes, that all kind of helped as well. So that was super important. Then it was kind of looking at my nutritional deficiencies, right? Because with celiac and GI issues, you have nutritional deficiencies. So that's where the supplement came. I ended up, you know, being on iron and vitamin D and B12 to supplement, you know, as well. I have actually done it all. I did food sensitivity testing. I've done, you know, that's when I did hormonal testing on myself, because I was having as a female, my hormones were all off. I could tell my cycles were all off. And then that's when I learned, you know, that's when I was like, okay, there's definitely something. The food part is good. My GI symptoms aren't better, but I'm still fatigued. I'm still feeling like crap.
Still
stressed. Like, you know what it was, is when I knew something was really wrong, was when I love exercising and I love running. And I remember like going on like a 5 mile run. And, you know, usually when I was younger, I would go on a 5 mile run. I would come back and I would be energized. Mm. Well, I remember coming back from a run and I felt like crap, you know? And I was like,
I thought you want to go to sleep.
Right. I wanted to go to sleep. And I was like, I can't go to sleep. I have to go to work now. How am I going to function at work? Like, if I'm already exhausted after a 5 mile run, I'm never going to make it. And that's when it really hit me. I was like, you know what, Vinya, you really are in adrenal fatigue. And that's when I did the testing. And sure enough,
yeah,
you know, and then with going down that route, it was like, you have to scale back. You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I have been meditating since medical school every single day. That's just something that I had done. So even in residency, even when life was crazy, I always made sure to meditate.
Yeah.
But meditation wasn't enough. When your stress levels are really up here and you're already meditating, it's not cutting it. You know, I mean, I was already exercising, but I was doing the wrong types of exercising, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Running, I was burning my adrenals as well. So learning running is not as good for me as I thought it was. You know, that's when I got to scale it back and do more yoga, got to eat more protein. And for me, I didn't know too much about nutrition. I mean, you kind of know a little bit about nutrition going through med school and life, but you don't really know about nutrition until you kind of get into functional medicine.
Yeah. I agree.
It's like a different world, but like, a lot of it.
Just on that note, how many units of nutrition do you do in medical school?
I think we calculated, and I think it was like maybe like a 1 hour. 1 hour in whatever, 200 hours of medical school. One, yeah, it's like one little section in biochemistry. That's it.
Wow. And what about on like pharmacy and other stuff? How many hours do you reckon you put into that?
Oh my God, pharmacology. I had a whole semester of pharmacology. So, oh my God, I don't even know how many hours that would be, but it was a whole semester of probably 2 hour and a half a day for 4 months, because our program was a little non-traditional. So yeah, it was pretty intense. Like, we learned, I can tell you everything about meds and the side effects and everything.
Yeah, but when it comes down to vitamins, minerals, you know,
no,
fats and carbs, the foundational building blocks of our body, there's not a lot of knowledge.
You know what, I'll tell you what I learned and what I went with is basically, this is what the take-home point in my biochemistry class when it came to nutrition and health was, eat less, exercise more, you'll lose weight. That was the take home. You know, that's what it was. That's what you eat. Eat less, exercise more, and you'll lose weight. Make sure you tell your patients not to eat a lot of fat, because fats are 9 calories, you know. So it was just like all that kind of stuff. That's what we got out of our nutrition class.
And what's scary about that is, like, I've got a lot of doctor friends as well, and they still talk from this mentality. And what I say to them, I'm like, well, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I just look at the bigger picture, and this was a big realization for me with this, that things weren't necessarily working as they should, was when we start to see the obesity statistics still going up, regardless of all this expert knowledge and regardless of all this stuff that we're doing and all the trillions and literally trillions of dollars we're putting into this stuff. And that's, I guess, when this platform sort of started, and I started reaching out to people like yourself, because there's some similarities, I guess, in the messages and in the stories that I want to share with people, because I hope they're picking this up, that there's this underlying mindset in the healthcare world and also in what's getting filtered out to the everyday person, which is the reason why they're stuck in a vicious cycle. But if we can start to learn from each other's stories and find these pathways, you know, like yourself, if we go back to where you were before, you said you were adrenally fatigued, you had the gut issues, all these type of things, and you turned back to nutrition, and you turned back to food, so foundational healing, and then the meditation side of things, and then you manage the lifestyle stress around you, and you realize that you were already burnt out, so rather than doing high intensity exercise, you brought that back to yoga and something a little bit more low impact and a little bit more nourishing for the body. And I guess, but now you can probably run, right? And you're probably, you know, once you're
both. Yeah. Now I can, I mean, I'm still pretty, I would love to run more than I do, but I usually will get in a good 6 mile, 7 mile run once a week. Cause I still think that, you know, I know I have the tendency to overdo it, because it's just a personality trait as well.
Absolutely. Behavior is a massive part of it. Yeah, and you're working so hard as a doctor, right? And you're trying to help all these people, and that's your passion, your purpose. So that's something that'll keep you very busy. So it's okay to be a little bit adrenally fatigued with that if you're helping people.
I like how you justify that. That makes sense.
yeah, but as well, we've got to practice what we preach, right?
That's a key component. Really true. Yeah,
And you brought that back to the functional medicine side of things, where you said the first lesson is that a lot of the things we actually teach are things that we need to learn ourselves. So we learn to walk our own talk, eat our own dog food, so to speak, and then we can go share that with the world.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I mean, and same thing, you know, it's different because I can relate to my patients. When I'm telling my patients, you know, stop eating gluten or stop doing this, I'm doing that, and I can tell you it sucks and it's hard, right? When my husband's eating a croissant and you want a bite of that croissant, you know, you can't eat it, know? But it's okay, because I can relate to them. When I can talk to patients about, this is what adrenal fatigue is, I've experienced it. There's, you know, when you can relate to patients love that. They will listen to you. They feed off of that, right? Because they want to know that we're all human, you know. They love that. They love that you went through the same experiences. You're struggling just like they are, you know, and it makes this experience so much better.
Yeah. And that's pure honesty. I think even the best health professional in the world, I'm sure, has times where they're tired and fatigued, or, you know, they eat that croissant, you know, like it it's just the way that it is. We can say no to the things that don't serve us, but you know, the real non-utopian world is that we all have choices every day, and no one's perfect. And it's beautiful to have doctors and everyday people saying, you know what, I'm not perfect either, but this is what we can do, and focus on what we can control. And this is how we can really optimize how we show up every day, and then how we show up in life and in relationships and everything else. So
yeah, it's true.
That's awesome. So probably feeding into the next question is more about all of that story and all about, you know, who you are and where you've got to. Why do you get out of bed in the morning now?
So I will tell you, I love my patients. Like, and this is silly, right? But every day, like, I always tell my nurses and I always tell my staff, I am so grateful for my patients, because as much as I'm helping them, they're actually helping me, right? Mm. And so a lot of times I learn so much about them, you know, and also for some of them, my complex patients, when they come to me, it kind of pushes me to be a better doctor. Mm. It pushes me outside the box to do more research. I'm very fortunate that I have a population that's, you know, very educated. They come to me, they're already taking 10 supplements, and they're like, is this okay? Is this bag okay? You know? Yep. And so they're very driven and they want to get better, you know? And so that is, it's a good feeling knowing that you're helping people that are already helping themselves. Right. And so, previously in the past where I've practiced, you know, you're forcing people to want to eat healthy, and you're forcing people to, like, can you just at least stop drinking sodas? You know, so it's nice having that population of patients that really wants to take care of themselves. And so I am, like, every day having gratitude for what I do is amazing, right? Like, having gratitude for my patients and my practice is a great feeling. And it's definitely how I start my day. It's definitely what keeps me going. And there are times where, you know, I'm human, right? I get frustrated. Life is busy. My schedule's hectic. And I remember, okay, Vindhya, why are you doing this? You know, remember why you're doing this, because it's not just because you're helping someone. It's because you really are making a difference in these people's lives. Mm. And it's super important it's super gratifying when you see someone come to you, you know, a few weeks later, and they're like, oh my God, that one herb that you gave me made a world of a difference. Or that breathing technique has really changed my life. Like, simple things like that is super powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important, isn't it? To, I guess for a lot of people, teachers, nurses, health professionals, and anyone that does what they do, if they come back to that purpose of why do they actually get out of bed in the morning, why do they do it? I think it can get us through the hardest times. And, you know, that point of service you talked about is quite amazing, that you fall in love with your patients and their outcomes. Yeah. I think that's quite cool. And it's a beautiful thing. And also the model you talked about was this education and sort of this active management. You're sort of holding their hand and helping them, you know, on this path to wellness, rather than passively, you know, telling them and you know, treating them with, you know, just symptom-based treatments.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is I want them to make, and I always tell them this, I want them to be a part of making the decisions, not just me telling them what to do, right? And so, and I'll be realistic, you know, when I tell a patient, you know, I really want you to try the paleo diet or something like that, and they look at me like, you know, like, are you crazy? No grains and no gluten and no dairy. And I'm like, yeah, I said that, you know, but it's interesting, because when you sit down with them and you explain why, and you tell them, okay, I know that you're not going to be perfect at this, and I know you're not going to start this tomorrow, and I want you to, and I always say, you know, think about this, you know, do your research about this, here's the paperwork, do your research, and then when you're mentally ready to start this diet, do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I can't tell you to do something if you're not ready to do it.
Yeah. So you're basically guiding them on their path through education, and then they make a self-informed choice when they're ready.
Exactly.
Perfect. So coming to the last little bit of this interview, and it's been awesome so far. Thank you so much for everything and being honest and vulnerable to share your story. What are some common tools, like self-care tools, that you find yourself giving to every patient? If you had one or two common ones, what would you find yourself recommending a lot of?
So the one thing that I really, I think all of my patients probably do, because I tell them, is a simple breathing technique. It's called the 478 breathing technique. And I really actually like this a lot. This is actually what I learned from Dr. Andrew Weil himself. He actually taught this to us. And I love this because I give everybody his YouTube link, and it takes 2 minutes to do, and my patients all, I tell them, watch it a few times and then you'll get the hang of it. And then when you feel like you're anxious or stressed, or you just want to start your day off like that, like it works wonders, especially for my patients that have like blood pressure problems. I see a lot of teachers, so that sometimes they get overwhelmed at work. Yeah. And so I tell them, when you get a second, go to the bathroom and do this 2 minute technique. And they love it. Yeah. Or even my professionals, I'm like, do this 2 minute technique, and they love it. And it's super easy. And it's called the 4-7-8 breathing technique, where you actually inhale for 4 breaths. You hold your breath for 7 breaths, and then you exhale for 8 breaths. And so it's super simple, and patients love it. So that's the one technique I like. And then I also try to encourage patients to meditate. Now, that's another thing. People will look at me and they think I'm crazy when I say meditate. Yep. And again, not everybody is in the right frame of mind to meditate. And but the fact that I'm just even suggesting it, and the fact that they're like, oh, okay, meditate, maybe I'll do that, and eventually at some point, like, patients will eventually do it, right? It'll take me a few times to say, let's meditate. And usually I'll recommend another technique I learned at through our fellowship. It's called the heart-centered meditation, and that takes about 7 minutes to do. Again, I recommend like a YouTube link so they can visualize it and watch it a few times where it can get the hang of it. And so patients love it, but you have to be realistic. You have to start small. I can't say go home and meditate for 3 hours. Start off with 5 minutes, and if you can do it once a week, great. And if the next time we can get you to do twice a week after that, perfect. Because eventually you get to a point where you'll meditate, ideally once every day, and you're doing your breathing techniques every day. So
perfect. So I guess, and it comes back to what you talked about before with stress and adrenal fatigue. The two things you offer is a breathing technique, because a lot of us, get stressed and we breath hold. So you just say, well, if you get to that point, here's a quick technique that can create a shift. And then I guess the second thing is about quietening and distracting the mind away from all the tabs that are open, right? And again, you've got a couple of YouTube links there. So what I might do is actually after this, if you can send me through those tools.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will. Yeah.
I'll pop them in the bottom of this YouTube link or this podcast, and people can go and have a go at them themselves.
Yeah, so, perfect. Yeah.
Awesome. So now to finish off, the last question I have for you is, Dr. Gandhi, is if you had, knowing what you know now, right? So you've gone through med school, functional medicine, you're working with all these amazing people. What would you share to future generations as like one key message, or maybe a key message to your future self if you were going to go this path all over again? What would be that one message that you share with them?
So, one thing I would really stress to everybody, and I wish, I did this for myself many years ago, is truly... one thing I recommend is truly invest in your health. Like, that to me is super important. And specifically, invest in a good, healthy lifestyle. That's kind of how I look at it, right? The lifestyle you lead now impacts how your health will be 10, 20, 30 years from now. And in your early 20s, I was guilty of it. You feel invincible. Yeah. You were like, I'm never going to have any medical problems. Oh, that's only old people, And you quickly realize, you're getting older, and I was guilty. I was one of those people that, you can ask my parents, like, I would drink a Diet Coke every single day. Like, that was something I did. And now I look back and I'm like, ew, I can't believe I did that. Who was that person? And it's just amazing. Like, you have to invest in your health. You have to take care of yourself now. You have to focus on having a healthy lifestyle now. And it's, simple things, just eating better, eating cleaner. You don't have to be gluten-free, dairy-free, but just eating cleaner, movement, exercising a little bit more, that's super important. The other thing I encourage is sleeping. Most of us are not sleeping. We're younger and we're like, oh, we don't need to sleep that much, and we overdo it, So just simple things that you don't need a prescription to live healthy, right? You just have to do these things: eating well, sleeping, exercising, learning to calm down, learning to do things you love, finding time for yourself, enjoying life, you know, that's going to take you a long way. And you'll look back at your life and you're going to be like, oh, I actually was really healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I hear that. And I guess when you say like investing in your health, you're talking about like time and resources, and sometimes you might need to exchange value or exchange money for certain things, but yeah. It's really, you know, making your health a priority in your life and knowing that if you really look after the one vessel that's going to get you through this, you know, 60, 70, 100, maybe 120 years, I think is the life expectancy.
Yes.
Then we can do it in a way that is fun, and we can create that ripple effect for our family and our friends and be that positive light for them as well, so that they can then value themselves in the same way that we then want to teach.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's the knowledge we have now is super amazing, and I bet, you know, if my parents knew what they knew now about, you know, back then, they would have taken care of themselves better, you know, but I think, and not just my parents, but that generation that population, I think that they probably wish they invested more time in their health. And I think they probably wish that they spent a couple more hours getting sleep, you know, and doing those extra things, you know, so.
No, that's perfect. Well, I think what we'll do there, Dr. Bindia Gandhi, is we'll finish off, and I'd really just like to thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for sharing those tools. Thank you for sharing that insight. If anyone wants to get in contact with you, probably the best thing would be just to go to your website, so drbindiamd.com, and they can get in contact. You've got publications and a bit more about yourself there, and I guess if there's any health professionals that want to follow the functional medicine route, you can point them in the direction. Or any patients that have any questions, I'm sure they can reach out and contact you through the tab there as well. So anything else?
No, thank you so much. This was really fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again. And we'll keep in touch, and I look forward to watching your journey as well.
Perfect. Thank you. You guys have a good day. Bye.
See you, Bindia.
Thank you for listening to the Fill Your Cup Integrated Health Podcast. Show notes, useful links, and subscription options can be found over at fillyourcup.com.au/podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share this and other episodes with someone you care for. And please join us on the next episode when we'll feature another guest with insights and more pieces of the puzzle to help you on your health and well-being journey so that you too can fill your cup daily and let that overflow into the people around you.